Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Jonathan Exum. Today's lesson, we will discuss why we believe in Jesus Christ. There are many people who say they believe in Jesus, but they're not. I mean, according to studies recently, about 3 of the United States of America say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. And thinking about this is, how many of them truly believe in Jesus? Do they know who he is? Do they know what he said? Do they truly know what he taught? First thing we want to know is, who is Jesus? Well, he called himself several names. He's been called several names. First, we want to look at is he's been called the Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, says that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. Also, in chapter 8, verse 20, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was called the Son of Man. That chapter is also in Matthew 16:13. It's one more passage you want to look at. There in his name. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, they said, when Peter confessed Christ, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Now, that moves into my next point. He's also been called the Son of God, and Peter acknowledges this. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, should not perish, have everlasting life. In verse 18, he goes on to say in verse 18, that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And there's a lot of confusion on this one verse, and very mistaken. There was some situation going on outside the window there. Anyway, this has been one of the most misused passages of Scripture, along with others out of the Bible, because it says it's about believing, and we'll get to this in a little later, believing, that's to a different extent. Now we'll get to the third point. Well, let's look at one more Scripture. Luke 22 says, then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And so he said to them, you rightly say that I am. You said that I am. So therefore, they just said, it's proved to you. Oh, another scripture reference to Son of Man. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. That's when he was facing the Sanhedrin. And asked him, are you then the Son of God? And he said, you rightly say that I am. Called the Messiah. John 1:41. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have the anointed one. He was the anointed one. Also in chapter 4, verse 25, says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And of course, he answered to her and he said, I who speak, you am he. who is the Messiah, he is the anointed one, he is the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Two more names that we will mention here and call the Savior. Luke 2:11, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is another scripture verse that I'll mention later, but Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which he sums it. Let's look at it. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. His Son is still lost. And again, he's also referring to the Son of Man, as well as we've been talking about. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to who are the lost. Well, those who have not obeyed God. Those who say they don't belong to God, or those who say that I don't believe in God, and those that didn't obey the law, which was the law of Moses back then. Now, there's two names mentioned in the book of Revelation. First scripture is Revelation 17:14. I've mentioned them before, you know them. It's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 17:14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, also in chapter 19:16. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of Kings. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. See, it could be either way. King, Lord, King of Kings. But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no one on earth that is greater than him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are to treat him as such. We are to worship him as such. Indeed and in truth. Now we come to this point. Our lessons of what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus preached the gospel, the New Testament, which we find in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Most people in the world don't know what the gospel is, or to a certain extent, they think they know what the gospel is, but they don't. The gospel is this. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, this is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. So Jesus Christ, he claimed, he said, I'm going to die. He reminded the disciples three times, I'm going to die. And when it came time to where he was captured, they were surprised, they didn't know it was coming, and he had proclaimed his death. Three times, there's no discussion what we're learning about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, the overall message of the gospel, but the gospel is the good news. If we obey the gospel, which I'll tell you how later on in this lesson, if we obey the gospel and remain faithful, then we will overcome death as he did. Jesus also came to seek and save the lost, which is the same thing when he was dead, when he was preaching the gospel. He wanted to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So, and we know in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 names those list of sins. But I want to pay attention to verse 11, that such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our calling. We're so you, see. And it says, was lost. It means at one time where we didn't obey. And some of you are still are lost. He also came to die for the sins of men. I know there's going to be a lot of reading in this couple sections here. In John 19. This is such a resounding chapter. Such an overall meaning chapter. I want to read you that whole section. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. It's the New King James Version. Please listen along with me. Then they said, "Hail, King of Jews! Oh, hail, the King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him up to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he has made himself son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, are you not Caesar's friend? You are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the celebration day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king!" But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The priest answered, We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the corner. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews," but he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written." And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts of each tunic without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. I'm going to wait to read the whole chapter, because this is such a powerful thing. "Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple with whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was preparation day, that the bodies did not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was the high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is truth. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, scriptures to be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." Jesus died on the cross of Calvary in our place. Yes, in our place. And we were. He did not deserve to die on the cross. We did. We do. We deserve it. We deserve it more than him. We went against our own Creator and entered the world. He was buried. Verses 40 and 42. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with spices of suffering to bury. And in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews. Jews was preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Then, now we get John 20. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head. And I'm going to go ahead and skip away verse 11. The mother stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stood down and looked to the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting at the head and of the feet with bodies that had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I did not know where they had laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni, Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" So Jesus was raised from the dead. He overcame death. Now we come to our last section of the list. What can we do for him? And that is obey his command, obey his gospel. By hearing his word, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. and believe in him and his word. John 8:24 says, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I tell you, no, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Also in verse 5, then confess, Philippians 2:11. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You need to be baptized, that's immersed in the water. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be condemned. And you remain faithful, be faithful until death, and you shall receive the crown of life. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because he came and seek and save the lost and to die for our sins. If God loves us so that he would give his only, then why not obey the gospel calling, the gospel calling to believe, obey, and remain faithful? I appreciate you for listening in, because I'm living in Georgia and we've got storms all around. Due to weather, I'm going to cut it about 5 minutes short. Have a wonderful, great day.